Join with me in a word of prayer, please. Lord God, the word that goes forth from your mouth does not return empty, but accomplishes that which you intend. Now plant your word within us and pour out your spirit upon us so that we may bear good fruit for the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. You would join and follow along. And the New Testament reading today is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 6, verses 43 through 45. And if you want to follow along, you can follow along in the Pew Bible on page 1602. So let's hear these words of Jesus, if we would please. No good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For out of the overflow of his heart, his mouth speaks. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth be pleasing to you. Help us to understand how we may be more committed to you and your work every day. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. So my first job that I had, I was one of those lucky kids that didn't have to work at the fast food restaurant when I first wanted a job. I was working for an orthopedic surgeon, and it was exciting. OSSMS. Orthopedic surgery, sports medicine specialist. I remember this. And this was the company that I worked for. And my mom worked there already. She was doing x-ray, and she got me and my best friend hired at this place. And we were hired as gophers, right? Y'all familiar with that job description? Yeah? Go for this. Go for the trash. Go for the files. Go for cleaning the bathroom. Go for whatever. We were the low men on the totem pole, and whatever needed to get done that no one else was interested in getting done fell on us. No, I won't say it was that hard. It was actually a really nice paying job, and it was a lot of fun, and we slacked off more than we probably should have. It was crazy. We weren't that supervised. But one of the benefits of working at a place like this was all the drug reps. Do y'all know of drug representatives? Anyone who works in the medical field knows about these people who come around to the doctor's office with their samples and their all their merchandise and all their free food, and they can't wait to show you and try to impress you with all their stuff. So every week we would have a lunch. And the drug reps would bring it in for all the employees, and it was great, and they would make us sign up. My buddy and I would make up fake names, and we would say, my buddy would say Landon S. Maccabee Esquire DDS, and he would just make up all these things and titles that he clearly was not, and it was great. And these drug reps came around quite a bit, and the reason they came around, it wasn't for the staff. They came around because they wanted to impress the doctors. They wanted to convince the doctors that you should use this drug with your patients. Now, the smart drug reps didn't bring lunch for the office. They brought sushi for the doctor. And they would sit in and go, oh, I know exactly what sushi this guy likes, and I'm going to have a nice convo with him. And in those conversations, he would go through all the things, all the studies, and why you should use this drug, and why this drug's so much better than this other drug, and you need to start using it. But what was interesting about what these drug reps, what the doctors started using, the drugs they used ultimately were the ones that worked, the ones that were most effective for their patients. So we could have a lunch a week, but it ultimately didn't matter if the drug didn't follow through on what it said it did. And that was the big point, sticking point. You can come in with all these stats, with sushi, with city barbecue for the entire office, with these really fancy pens with your drug name on it, and everybody tried to collect all the different ones because they were really cool. One of them even had an Etch-a-Sketch on the end, a little tiny Etch-a-Sketch that you could do like this on. But in the end, if the drug didn't do what it said it did, the doctor didn't use it. The doctor used something else. That drug had to do what it said it did. Now, this is, I think, familiar to all of us as Christians, the difference between words and actions. This week, Tuesday, in 2 days, we're having an election, right? Thank you, God. That it's going to be over with, and we have to be bombarded. But we're reminded that politicians do a lot of talking, right? About what they believe. What they will do once they're in office. But like those drugs at the orthopedic office, the proof will be whether they'll follow through on these things, right? Will they deliver the promises? Will they follow through on the words? They can talk all day long, but their behavior will reveal the truth about what they actually believe. Now, we all speak in deep convictions. We post about how important something is on Facebook. Oh, this is important. You need to read this. This is what I believe. We read all the books we're supposed to, but when it comes to actually acting on that supposed deep conviction, too often we're too busy to make time for it. If we're too busy to actually follow through on our Facebook deep convictions, how deep really is that conviction? On a micro level, how many times have you put something away with the declaration, I will get to that project soon, only for it to sit there for 5 years? Did you really want to complete that project? Because if you did, it seems like you would have gotten to it by now. That's why I tell Ray Jean when we're cleaning, I go, if you have not used it in 5 years, out, it's gone. Jesus, in his Sermon on the Mount, lays this out very clearly for us. No good tree bears bad fruit. Nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. You will know who a person is, what they value, by examining what they do. Our true beliefs are revealed in our behavior. If you say you believe in Jesus, but fail to act on those words, what is in your heart? Y'all know that old hymn, right? And they will know we are Christians by our love. Yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love. They're saying something there. You're known by your actions. The old hymn talks about integrity between what we say and what we do. So think about your life. Are you known for your love? Are you known for how you love God and love neighbor? When we interact with others, what can others see our faith in action? How do people know us? In our church, in our community, at our work? What do they see that we value? Not what we say we value. What do they see us in our actions say we value? We had, at least in seminary, Ann and I both had to do this at some point in our seminary careers. where a professor would say, here's a little timesheet for you guys. I want you to take this timesheet home, and I want you to start filling it out. Filling out how you're spending your time each and every day. Maybe you watch TV, maybe you ate a meal, maybe you studied, maybe whatever. Write it all down. I want you to take a whole week, and I want you to write down how you spent your time. Now, besides being a very frustrating exercise, because who's got time for that, right? I don't got time to write on an inventory list. But when you went through this exercise and you examined how you spent your time in your week, and then you compared it to the things you claim you care about, and you found that maybe you carved out 10 minutes for the things you cared about, you could start saying, something's not right here. My life's out of whack. I'm not doing the things that I say I believe. Why? What's going on? Why is the priority on these other things and not on the things that I say I care deep about, family, faith, God, all these things, and I'm not doing it. I'm not spending time. This is why I have spent the last whole month preaching on our new mission study. We have worked really hard this last year discovering God's plan for the future of this church. I said when I got here, I was going to limit this interim time as quickly as possible because you all were ready. You've gone through three interims in a row, considering Everett was only here for 3 years. That essentially was almost like an interim. Y'all have gone through this transition time for so long. I said, we're going to get through this. And together, we worked to discover this plan for the future of this church. We affirmed this beautiful mission statement that we worked together about sharing the wonder and love of God's story, right? By inviting others to worship, to grow, support, to serve in the name of Jesus Christ. And this mission study pushes us to work on our physical plant, our relationships with one another, the community, ways we share the good news beyond these walls. Yet all of this work amounts to nothing. Will turn out to be nothing unless we're willing to act on it. All these words will fade away in the ether unless we live into them. So be who you say you are in the study. Dare to live into it by actually doing something about it. The proof will be in the pudding, right? I don't want us to have gone through all this work and be like, oh, that was nice, but we don't really want to do any of those things, right? Let's follow through. Let's act on our deep convictions as Presbyterians, allowing our emphasis on grace to be the first step that we take, showing grace to one another, building our relationships, and then stepping out into our community and saying, hey, we want you to be a part of this community. I want to show you what it looks like to experience the wonder and love of God here at First Pres. Today, you all made your first step in commitment by turning in these pledge cards. And thank you for that. I ask you now to take the next step and start following through on our mission study so that we can live into the promised future God has in store for us. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.